Hello, my name's Gary Napper and I'm the lead designer on Alien Isolation.
So is this the first time it's properly out to the public?
No, we've actually been able to show the game for the last year or so. So we've been taking it to places like Gamescom and E3 and getting people really kind of first hands on it. It's been amazing for us to, as developers, to just see people playing the game, because we've been working on it so long, like, you know, over 3 years, that just getting people to come and play it and watching their reactions to it and seeing that it's outstanding.
So when you first got the point of, right, we're going to make an Alien game, what did you set down as, like, this is what Alien game we want to make?
Well, we knew we wanted to create the feeling of a single alien being terrifying, because we're all massive fans of the first film. And we've never really played a game experience where just one alien is a huge, huge deal and a massive problem to deal with. We didn't want to give you any heavy weapons or machine guns or rocket launchers or M56 smart guns or anything. So it had to feel like that first film. So we knew we had to be, you know, in many ways we wanted to be a survival horror. Some people are now saying we're a stealth survival game, and, you know, they kind of, I think different people have such different experiences with the game, it gets labelled with many different things. So, but yeah, when we first started out, it was all about creating the feeling of one alien being absolutely terrifying again.
That's interesting, because a lot of the Alien games previously, Alien kind of has this reputation of being a curse for video games. It's very hard to do.
I don't think you can say that about stuff like AVP2. I know, I'll meet you halfway. There's been some good and some bad games.
But they've never really been scary games, apart from the boo jump out of a cupboard sort of
thing. Yeah.
How have you made Alien Isolation scary?
Well, I think we just took a lot of cues from the first film, really, because when you think about it, if you're in a situation where you're not armed and you have to survive and there's an alien there, that would be a massive deal. I mean, if you and I were in a petrol station with an alien, what would we do? Right, okay, right, we're terrified, we've got to get out of there, and we would just want to go away. You wouldn't try and fight it for a second. What we would be doing is trying to cause distractions and building things, and that was kind of our approach to it, really, because if you can put yourself in a situation where this thing is such a big terror, and also, more importantly, make the creature feel like it's intelligent and hunting in a smart way, then you know you've gone a long way towards creating that feeling.
So what's the basic premise of the situation of the game? How does it pan out? How does it work?
Well, the game is set about 15 years after the first film. Okay. It focuses around a character called Amanda Ripley, who's the daughter of Ellen Ripley. She's found out information about the disappearance of her mother, and she's going to try and chase it up and find out what's going. This leads her to a place called Sevastopol Station. She gets there to find a black box and finds herself confronted by an alien. And the whole station has fallen apart, and it's a huge, huge, huge deal.
So is the idea basically to escape?
Yeah. I guess the thing is, once you meet the alien, all bets are off. So it's just down to you to try and survive, like, you know, scavenge things from the environment, try and cause distractions, try and defend yourself. And I guess the more you explore, the more options you have as a player.
Okay. And so when it comes to the game, if you were to say, I want you, when you play this game, to notice this thing, what's the one thing, if you had to pick anything in there that you hope players don't miss?
I don't think players will miss it, but it's a big thing about the detail of the level of detail we've gone to, with not just the environments and the behavior of the alien. Because there's things you'll notice about the alien that are just absolutely incredible. Like, you'll try one thing and you'll see it behave in a certain way. Next time when you try it, it might not work. So the one thing I'd say is for people to just study the alien as closely as possible and learn from its behaviours and see what it can do.
Is this a game that you're looking for a large amount of replay value out of the players
there? There is actually naturally a huge amount of replay value, just because the alien is systematic. So when you play it, even if you die and restart, you'll get a different experience. We've got certain points in the game. I mean, it's a linear game, so there's certain events that always happen, but most of the time, from point to point, you and I will have completely different playthroughs. And that's something we're seeing today with our survivor mode, where we're seeing such crazy differences between the way people choose to play it and the type of way the alien reacts to it as well.
And so when it comes to the game, obviously you said that there's an obvious theme in Isolation. Is that the core thing? It's you, alien, that's it?
Yeah, there are other threats aboard the station. There's androids and there's humans, but the biggest worry when you meet them is, are they going to make some noise and bring the alien down? So you're always worried about this one alien. So yeah, the whole theme of being alone, isolated, and just trying to survive is definitely the core of the experience.
What do you feel has been the biggest challenge in making the game?
I think the biggest challenge is making the alien feel believable and feel like it could be that intelligent hunter and that predator that was going to, you know, track you down and kill you. I think when you're playing against it for the first time, you kind of have misconceptions about it, and you think about it from terms of other games where you go, oh, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back in and I'm going to find it around that corner. And when he's not there anymore, and when you come back in and suddenly you are relying on the motion tracker and you don't have weapons to kill it, all of a sudden, you know, it's a big, big difference. So the amount of behaviours and sets, behaviour sets we put into the alien just make it this really, really tough, believable creature.
So to really experience this game properly, you have to play it with the lights down, with the music, the sound on. You can't play your music and just
No. The sound is a huge part of the game, mainly because we don't have any in-world markers, like there's no holograms or anything appearing in the world. So all of the information you get from the alien is largely from its sound. So if you hear him getting angry or you hear him like losing a search or something, you start to recognise those sounds and realise what the alien's up to.
So you don't have a HUD in the game then?
There is minimal HUD. There's things like ammo counter and a health bar and stuff like that, but we've tried as best as possible to put all information within the world. So when you go up and interact with the panel, it's actually in the world, and there's large, rusty push buttons on everything, and it feels like that 1970s aesthetic.
So it does sound like you've taken the first film, and really taken that. Did you kind of go back to the film and really break it down
We've had that first film on loop in the studio since, I think, day one of the project, and each time you see it, you see other things that you didn't notice before. It's such a great piece of work that, you know, we deconstructed all the boxes with like blueprints and weights and things like that, and the material stuff was made out of. So the art team have done an incredible job about breaking down that film and then reconstructing almost like archetypes that we can build the game out of.
So obviously, I'm guessing you've probably played the game an awful lot, and your team.
Yes.
Do you still get scared?
Yes, we do. It's quite a funny thing, because you'd expect after, you know, 3+ years of working on a game, you'd know it inside out, but stuff still happens where you don't expect and you think he's going to do one thing. And I think as developers, we tend to play in a little over-cocky way where we're kind of, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to try that, you know. And then the alien will do something to outsmart us and we're caught off guard. And I had an embarrassing moment in front of a group of press where I was tracking the alien. And I said, right, and I said, you make sure you always use the motion tracker. I pulled out the motion tracker, there's nothing on it. And a door opened right in front of me and the alien was just standing there, and I jumped out of my skin and my face turned red and all the journalists were laughing. I was like, yes, it still gets us, obviously.
That must be very satisfying in many ways to design something and be so wholly involved that it still gets you.
Yeah.
It beats you.
It's the manly work the AI team have done and the amount of detail they've gone into on it is just astounding. So if it can still get us, then I think it will get a lot of people.
Obviously, you've given us a little bit of a story there of your experiences with the game. Has there been anything else, like one particular thing that stood out for you as your favourite thing of the game?
Yes, but they're massive spoilers. There's some really great moments later on in the campaign, but if you can play all the way through the game, you'll absolutely enjoy it. Everyone has been really, really into what we're doing.
How long will the campaign last you on average, do you think?
It's a very difficult question to ask that, because of the alien's systematic nature, it could be anywhere. So you and I could go down one area and it could take me an hour to do it, you could do it in 5 minutes. We see massive amounts of variation in playthroughs as we go through the game, so we can't really put a regular time on it, but yeah, I'd say if you're really, really good and you don't explore anything, you could probably do it in about 15 hours.
Okay.
But if you take your time, there's lots of game there.
All right, fair enough. Well, thank you very much for your time. I very much appreciate you taking the minute.
That's all right, nice to meet you.